Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
As we build up to the State of the Nation address, one of the key issues under the spotlight is inevitably economic inclusion. And the big question, I guess, is how do we create real access to opportunities for the historically disadvantaged? And what does this mean for South Africa's economic growth? Joining me today is Dr. Ntabiseng Moleko, economist at the Stellenbosch Business School. And she argues that unlocking growth requires dismantling structural barriers, ensuring small business can enter markets, and also using transformation tools like broad-based back economic empowerment and targeted funding effectively. The question, of course, is are we going to hear any allusion to this come the State of the Nation? Dr. Moleko, a very warm welcome to you. So we talk about economic inclusion. What does it practically mean, in your opinion, for an entrepreneur or a job seeker in South Africa today, given the very difficult and arduous economic conditions that we're facing right now?
I think the first thing is, you know, when you look at inclusivity, it's really about economic participation. Participation in the form of whether it's in the labor market, participation, whether it's in the productive sectors of the economy, participation, whether you're talking about primary, secondary, or tertiary sector, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an employee, or whether you're in the value chain as a supplier of products or produce, right? So any of those can be seen as really to be economically active, you know, where you're not simply a consumer of goods and services, but you actually contribute at a different level, whether it's any of these that I've just mentioned, whether it's owner of capital, a disbursor of funding, even a participant in any of these economic subsectors. So when you're talking about economic inclusion now, from a South African perspective, it's important to look at geographical or the spatial aspect, you know, which sectors really make the bulk of, you know, the economic output or the gross value add, but also to see from a gender, racial, and also age, if I can call it population demographic perspective, who are the participants, are these different portions of our economy and portions of the population, you know, economic active. Why that's important is that if there's nodes that are not having access, so if women are not included, or if youth are not included, or if there's demographics not included, and in particular, spatial areas that do not have participation, it has economic divide and it has economic negative externalities, resulting in migration, resulting in social issues in that area, resulting in need for social grants and dependence on the state, resulting in lack of economic output and also therefore unemployment, you know, being concentrated in certain nodes. So it has all kind of negative externalities. So that's why it's important, you know, that economic inclusion be looked at so that you can have everyone participating and making contribution, you know, to the totality of economic value add and economic output.
The problem, of course, in South Africa is that economic divide that you refer to is widening by the day. And you emphasize deconcentrating markets. But how do you achieve that? And where are the bottlenecks? Why is it so difficult for new players to break in to this value chain that you talk about?
So the first thing is that South Africa is a small open economy. And we have a history of monopolies and oligopolies controlling most of the value chain. A lot of studies have been done. There's different nodes of and pockets of research that have come out showing us that the South African scenario and the South African situation points to most of subsectors having three or four big players. These are either multinationals or, you know, what we call large or medium-sized firms, which control what we call the turnover. So they control up to three quarters or even up to 70% of the turnover in that sector. And so this is across the board. So when you talk deconcentration, what you're saying is let the revenue go to more firms, right? Let the share and the gains of the profit and the share of the number of firms in that sector be widened and access widened. And the reason for this is when you have more than, and we know with the case of Eskom, what it looks like to have a monopoly or an oligopoly is that they control prices, various negative impacts. Fortunately, there's a regulator that can say tariffs are too high and they will have a negative effect on the consumer and the society as a whole. So that then puts an imposition on the monopoly. It's similar to oligopolies. You know, they can fix prices, they can maneuver on prices, but it has a negative effect. Similar now, turnover in businesses. if you don't have many firms competing, price becomes a problem, right? Quality becomes a problem, and even the gains are not spread. So profit maximization becomes concentrated in one or two firms when it can actually be spread out to a lot. So what you need is instruments to try to widen the benefits. So inclusion is not just about, you know, racial inclusion. It's about widening the benefit to smaller enterprises and also widening the benefit and the access across the spatial spectrum. What I'm saying is geographically. So you cannot have all your economic output in a country coming from a Gauteng province, which is the case. 40% of our turnover and economic revenue generated is largely from one province. So what you want to do is disaggregate that and try to generate economic hubs from other provinces. But that takes years. So you've got to have a strategy. You've got to look at competitive advantage. It's not easy when there's imports coming in. You know, we are in a global economy. We're not going to do what the U.S. is doing and just raise tariffs for everyone or threaten, you know, raising tariffs, because we don't have, we're not a superpower. So we're on the back of economic trade agreements that we adhere to because we're signatory to WTO. So these are some of the dynamics where you've got to widen the net so that you can actually have wider gain, and it actually works better.
So let me ask you this in conclusion then. You can't rely on the magnanimity of big organizations and the concentration that they own. So obviously the instruments that you're talking about to unblock the situation is going to be legislative, yet there doesn't seem to be an appetite for that, or the legislation that exists at the moment doesn't seem to be working effectively.
I think, Jeremy, the problem in South Africa is that we're working from a basis of mistrust. There's been a lot of damage done over the last few years. And I think this is what needs to be resolved. Everyone will benefit when there is inclusion in the economy, when more SMMEs are actually participating, when every racial group has access to factors of production, when you are seeing youth, women, you know, and all the urban areas, you know, participating, and they don't have to migrate outward. I think the problem we have is that from mistrust, we refuse, therefore, to look at anything that will solve the current economic crisis. And I think that's where our problem lies. We've got to give ourselves the opportunity to reconstruct. I think that the second aspect is that we must agree that market-led reforms haven't changed the structural abnormalities of apartheid and the past. And even the existing legislative reforms have probably, and I'll speak particularly to economic empowerment, have probably benefited a very small percentage of the total population that needs to have access. So I think we need to revisit and have a discussion openly as South Africans to say, economic inclusion is required for us to grow. Remember, our growth continues to be revised downwards. We're now sitting at an estimated 1.1% growth outward. And these projections are simply not enough for us to see a productive economy, to see everyone actually participating, to see employment that we need, and an alleviation of poverty. So something different has to be done. And I think what I was talking about is that the National Transformation Fund that the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition that has proposed this fund, people are too scared to start new discussions. And yet these are discussions that we need to have so that we can start to rectify some of these issues that have not yet been resolved. And I think we have to start from a place to say market-led reforms are not sufficient. You have to have, you know, structural interventions that enable you to change these things we've just spoken about. Because these are some of the problems that we have not yet been able to resolve. So we've got to look at new solutions.
And thank you very much indeed for that insight, Dr. Ntabiseng Moleko, economist at the Stellenbosch Business School. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.